Greetings, brethren. It is, well, I can almost say good afternoon here. But it's truly a blessing to be with you here at the feast. And when I say that, I really mean it. I would like to just take a moment to thank all of you, brethren, here and those on the webcast who have been praying for me and my wife, my health situation that I faced these last few months. But never underestimate your prayers, the power of prayer, because God answers those prayers. And so I'm here. People have been asking how I'm doing, and I'm saying I'm here. I'm vertical. And, you know, I'm not 100%, but I'm working on it. So it's good to be here with all of you. I think you'll see that my message today and Mr. New's message are going to dovetail very nicely, because actually, the title for my message, for those of you who like titles, is A Time of Good News. A Time of Good News. I was beginning to think that Mr. New had hacked in somehow into my computer and read my notes. But, you know, the more I think about this, the more I realize that these are messages that God wants us to hear. So he inspires those of us who speak. And some of these messages are a lot alike. There is some redundancy, but this is what God wants us to hear. So I'd like to begin by reading a few lyrics from a song. This was a song that was made popular by Anne Murray, who is a female artist, I believe, out of Canada. And the title of the song was A Little Good News. The song was written by Charles Black, Roy Burke, and Thomas Rocco. But this song peaked number 74 on the pop chart in 1983, while hitting number one on the country chart, which I thought was quite interesting. So this song goes back to 1983, so I'm sure there's a number in our audience that have never heard about this song. But this is how the lyrics go. It says, I rolled out this morning. Kids had the morning news show on. Bryant Gumbel, I don't know how many of you remember Bryant Gumbel, was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. It's going to get worse, you see. We need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story, one more than I can stand. Just once, I'd like to see the headlines say, not much to print today, can't find nothing bad to say, because nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd. Nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger. Nobody had to die in vain. We sure could use a little good news today. Now, typically when a song reaches number one, it's either because it's a very good musical arrangement or it's a catching tune. Like Mr. Light was talking about the song that he remembered. Or the lyrics or the words, they resonate with people. So as I mentioned, this song was written in 1983, but I think it would be safe to say that the lyrics of this song are still applicable for today and what we see happening around us in our country. And maybe even more so as time goes on. So that's just a part of the song. And I'll read some of the additional lyrics later. But I think most of us would agree in that last line that I read that we sure could use a little good news today. Brethren, the world is desperate for good news. It's been mentioned in some of the messages that we've already heard. But it truly is a rare commodity. It really is. You know, as it was mentioned, there are many people that feel this country is truly in trouble. So let me touch on just some of the bad news events that people are talking about around the water cooler. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on these bad news discussions that people have, but I think it's interesting that we should think about it as a contrast when we talk about the good news. First of all, we're coming up on election year. Now, that's enough bad news by itself. I could stop right here and not continue. But you know, I watch the Republican debates, and I'm not sure why I do. I guess I wanted to hear these gentlemen and lady, their takes, their thoughts on the problems with America and how they're going to fix them or their solutions. But could you imagine a candidate, if they were standing before you today and standing before millions of Americans, and this is what they said. I wish I could imitate those guys that they're up there speaking, you know. They get a certain look. But they say, if you vote for me, I promise. Now imagine if a candidate said this. If you vote for me, I promise not only to defund Planned Parenthood, but I will abolish abortion. I will fix what's wrong with the Internet. I will abolish pornography and everything associated with it. I will abolish drug abuse. And I will prosecute the ones who are involved in drugs. I will abolish prostitution. I will abolish the abuse and neglect of children and the elderly in our society. And I will put God and prayer back in school. Mr. Swaggerty, if you vote for me, I will abolish those gas-guzzling automobiles that you talked about that are so dangerous on our streets. I will put a horse and buggy in every driveway, which in turn will create thousands of jobs because somebody has to shovel up that mess. But we will take that stinky stuff and we will burn it. And we will have clean, renewable energy to light up thousands of homes in America. That's what I will do. Mr. Richards, you will have a Mustang in your driveway. And I will make sure that you have batting lessons that will teach you how to hit a ball. Now, obviously I'm being a little silly here. But imagine, if you would, a candidate who would step up and say some of these things. But here's the problem. First of all, we would never hear that, would we? A candidate would never say these things because, first of all, they realize they would never be elected. Secondly, no man, no group of men would ever be able to solve the problems that we face in this country. Some would try, some would mention. One candidate mentioned that he realizes that a lot of the problems that we have in this country is with our families. But he also stated that he could not legislate morality. And he stated that very well because man can not legislate morality. Only God can change people. Only God can change people. So we have the election coming up. Not the greatest of news. There's some who think the economy is going to collapse soon. We hear about that a lot. I know my 401k has been going up and down like a roller coaster at Disneyland. But, you know, I also have an older son who works as a mortgage underwriter for Wells Fargo. And we were having a conversation the other day. And he told me, Dad, he said, you know, the overinflated mortgage housing bubble is starting again, so he can see this. But, you know, we sit and watch as our country becomes more and more divided, both morally and racially. The loud majority are now changing the moral structure of our nation. The weather. People talk about the weather. Someone said if we didn't have the weather to talk about, there wouldn't be much to talk about. But we have the weather. The weather is becoming more and more severe. The West Coast, those of you that live on the West Coast is burning up while the Midwest and the East Coast are drowning. Those of you who live in California that are here can speak to this very fact, that the water shortage in California is becoming a serious issue. And you know, to put it quite simply, brethren, people are going crazy. We heard about the shooting down in Roseburg. People are just flat out going crazy. It's unbelievable what people are doing nowadays. So, brother, that's just a short list of the bad news. I could mention many more. But I don't want to focus on what's going on out there. I really don't. That's not the main intent of my message. Because we're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles here together, which pictures a time in the future that will be filled with not only a little good news, but a lot of good news. And we've heard messages about the good news. Mr. New talked about a lot of the good news, the things that God is going to do and accomplish. So what is the good news of the millennium? What are some of the permanent events that will occur when under Jesus Christ's rule and leadership? Now, we all realize that the bad news is going to get badder before it gets gooder. So my youngest son used to say it years ago. It's going to get badder before it gets gooder. Or it's going to get worse before it gets better. We understand that. We understand the prophetic events and what's leading up to the millennium. And those events one day will become a reality. But our opportunity or our job description is twofold. And this has been talked about also. We have the opportunity and the responsibility to share the good news now. The good news now with the world. And eventually, we will have the opportunity to bring it to reality. Think about that. Think about the times that you have seen situation in people's lives that you wish desperately that you had the power to change and to help them. But you don't have that ability. You can pray for them. You can talk with them. You can counsel with them. But to actually change their behavior, their thought processes, and their actions, we do not have the power to do that. But someday we will, working under Jesus Christ. Someday we'll have that opportunity. I brought with me today two very contrasting pieces of reading material. I asked my wife to pick up a newspaper for me, which she did. But I thought it was ironic. The headline article on this newspaper, Mr. Swaggerty, reads this way. High-speed chase deaths undercounted. Actual death toll from police chases could pass 15,000. So I thought about what you said, your message. Policemen chasing other vehicles involved in accidents, killing multiple people, 15,000 people. And then there's other stories in this newspaper, and the majority of them are bad news stories. You read the paper. Most of them are bad news. There might be a few good news stories, but they're few and far in between. Even the sports section, if your team lost that weekend, that's bad news for you. But really is. It's a bad news piece of literature. But in contrast to that is this magazine, the Good News magazine. Now, not all the articles in the Good News are good news articles. There are some bad news articles. But there's usually solutions following those articles. Articles that talk about what's going on in our country, what's going to happen in the future. But they usually have solutions to those problems, and they're godly solutions. Now, the title of this magazine is going to change. I believe the January issue will be called Beyond Today. And that's fine, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Beyond Today. You know, the bad news of today and the good news of tomorrow. So I prefer this magazine. I prefer the good news. I prefer reading this magazine or the new one that's coming out, the Beyond Today. That's the one that I prefer. As Mr. Walker mentioned in his message on the first holy day, the time leading up to the return of Jesus Christ, and the reestablishment of God's government on the earth will not be a time of good news. I know none of us are looking forward to that. It's a time that we'll have to go through maybe the first part of it, of the tribulation, or what we call the time of sorrows. But we think about our family members, those we love, and maybe the younger ones that might have to come up and grow up in that time. So our concern is about them. And we think about that. But brethren, they look to Jesus Christ, and they look to us. Those ones who will survive the great tribulation, the day of the Lord, they are going to look to Jesus Christ, and they're going to look to us for answers. And they're going to look to us to bring them the good news. And we have to remember that during that time, I think sometimes we forget, but during that time, everything that we're talking about leading up to this time and over into the 1,000-year reign is about physical human beings. We'll be spirit beings. Our trials, our testing will be over. So we're talking about those individuals who will live over until the millennium. Turn with me, if you would, for my first set of scriptures over to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. I want to read verses 7 and 8. But here we find a future proclamation of a good news event. Notice what it says here. Excuse me, turn to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 and 8. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion." So that's the good news the people are waiting to hear, that Jesus Christ is reigning in Jerusalem. Let's go to chapter 61 now. Chapter 61 here in Isaiah. This ties in so beautifully with the coming good news message. We find here in Isaiah chapter 61 a prophecy about Jesus, the Son of God, who's going to reign in Jerusalem. But notice what he will accomplish as we go through these verses. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And this is speaking about Jesus Christ. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." So he's proclaiming liberty, brethren, to those who are bound up by a way of life that they cannot break free from. And Jesus Christ will free them. He says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them liberty for ashes, or beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowman and your vine dresser. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast." So this is just a part of the good news. Let's talk about some more of the good news events, some that's already been discussed. Jesus Christ the King, as I said, will reign in Jerusalem. And his platform is not a political platform, but one that's based upon love, justice, mercy. And believe me, brethren, Jesus Christ will get things done. There won't be these promises that politicians make about what they plan to do or what they want to do. The promises and the things that we read in the scriptures will be fulfilled. Promises that God will keep and we'll see come to pass. Well, let's talk about the economy. Amos 9, verses 13 and 14. Mr. New touched on the economy. We're not sure what type of economy we'll have in the millennium, but it's going to be a strong economy, an economy that's structured to take care of all people that are there. But notice what it says, Amos 9:13. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with it. And I will bring back the captives of my people Israel, and they will build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they will plant vineyards and drink wine from them. And they also will make gardens and eat fruit from them." It's going to be a very prosperous economy where everyone is fed. Well, there will be no poor. Well, what about the weather? We talked about the weather. Joel 2, verse 23 and 24. What about the weather? What about the fact that half the country is burning up from the sun and heat, and there's not enough water? And it just happens to be in a place where a great percentage of our food is grown, in California. But notice what it says here. Joel 2, verse 23 and 24, it says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil." So God will straighten out the weather patterns. And they'll be like they used to be. Rain in due season. Sun when it's needed. And what about peace in this country, around the world? Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Someday, true peace, lasting peace, is going to be upon this earth. It says, "Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths." Well, notice this. "For out of Zion shall go forth the law." There will be law. God will establish law. God established the Ten Commandments, but there will be law. "And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations." And notice this, "he will rebuke many people." So there will be rebuking still taking place. "And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." That's probably some of our favorite scriptures right there. Nation shall not learn war anymore. And what about the animals? You know, I didn't touch on that. Up here in the Northwest, when I used to live up by Seattle, we heard more and more about the aggression of black bears. It was becoming more and more of a problem. We hear of lately it's been more shark attacks. Seems like something is getting these sharks all stirred up. More and more shark attacks. And there's scriptures that tell us this, in the end time, if things get worse, and the animals, the wild animals, food is depleted, they're going to be looking for a food source. So animals are going to become more and more aggressive towards humans. But notice, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 and 9. God, like it was mentioned, I think Mr. Corbett mentioned this, that the very nature of animals will be changed. It says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall graze. My wife is happy about that verse because she does not particularly like bears. But I told her instead of a bear skin rug, we could just have a bear laying on the floor in the living room. Because she wouldn't have to worry about them. But their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. And they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Even the animals will be at peace. Now, how many of you are staying at the Eagle Crest? Okay, how many of you have had the opportunity to have the deer come up in your yard and possibly feed the deer? They're very tame around here. I think last year I told the story of our two grandchildren were down here with us at the feast. And we had some deer come up in the front yard. And I told my grandson to be very still. And one of the young deer came right up to him and put its nose right on his nose. So the deer here are very tame, but yet they still have that wild nature about them. They're only so much trusting of humans. Now, I found this out recently. My wife and I arrived here early for the feast. And so I was by myself. There was no one else that could go out and play some golf with me. So I went out and played around by myself. And I came up on one of the tee boxes. Now, for those of you who do not know about golf, a tee box is not a box where I carry tea in and I stop along the way and I have my cup of tea while I'm playing golf. That's not what a tee box is. A tee box is where you take a wooden tee, or some now are plastic, and you put your golf ball on top of that tee and you stick it in the ground. And the object is to hit the ball as far as you can. So you take a mighty swing, you hit the ball as far as you can down into the fairway. Well, the problem is that doesn't always work, especially when I play. I can take a mighty swing, but the ball does not necessarily go down the fairway. The ball can go that way or that way. I've done it. I've seen it happen. As a matter of fact, I was golfing with a group of guys. And one of the guys got up there. He teed up. He took a mighty swing, and he hit the ball so hard, and it went so far he couldn't even see where it went. But those of us who were standing in the back of him, we saw where the ball went. What happened was he barely grazed the ball. The ball fell off the tee, rolled backwards between his feet. Those of us were standing back there snickering. Someone said that ball went so far we lost sight of it. Anyway, we told him it was between his feet and he'd have to hit it again. But anyway, I'm getting to a point here. I drive up to the tee box, and there's deer laying right in front of the tee box. So I'm talking to the deer. I tend to talk to myself or whatever might be listening when I'm out by myself. And I told the deer, you need to move. That is a dangerous spot right there. One of you might possibly lose an antler. So I said, you got to move. But obviously they don't understand English. I don't speak deer speak. So I had to get back in my cart, and I had to literally chase them off the fairway. They weren't happy about it, but I felt good because I think I spared a deer life. One of them will live to see another day. Anyway, here's my point. So those of you that have seen the deer, fed the deer, All you young people, imagine, as Mr. Corbett was talking about, imagine, if you would, a tribe of lions roaming Eagle Crest. Okay? A tribe of lions. Now, you would not want that to happen the way lions are today. I would not attempt to chase a tribe of lions off the courts with my golf cart. But someday, if that, now I don't know if there's going to be golf courses in the millennium. You know, I don't see why not. They are, golf courses are beautiful. I've played some very beautiful golf courses. So if there is a golf course, and there are lions roaming the golf course, and wolves, and whatever other animal might be out there, you will be able to go up there and gently lead them off the golf course. That's how tame they're going to be. Now, if you're out there with your dad or your mom and you're playing golf and your dad hits the ball sideways and the ball goes in a hole in the rocks, which mine's done, and you reach down there and that ball is laying on top of a rattlesnake or some type of snake, you can reach down to that hole, pick up your ball, and not worry about being bit by that snake. That's the way it's going to be. You know, and we think about that and we think, is that really that possible? Is that going to be that possible? Yes, it is, because God will make it possible. Let me read real quickly just a few more lyrics from that same song. It says, I came home this evening. I'll bet the news will be the same. Somebody takes a hostage. Somebody steals a plane. Now, this is written in 1983. Think about 9/11. How I want to hear the anchorman talk about a country fair and how we cleaned up the air and how everybody learned to care. It says, woe tell me, nobody was assassinated in the whole third world today. And in the streets of Ireland, all the children had to do was play. And everybody loves everybody in the good old USA. We sure could use a little good news today. Well, brethren, the good news is that the bad news is eventually going to come to an end. The good news is that we won't have to be subject to or worry about elections and human governments that fail, because God's government will never fail. The good news is that eventually Satan's influence on society will end forever. And we know that he is the reason that people are going crazy. The good news is that we have been called. Here's the good news. Brethren, the good news is that we have been called and we are being trained to help Jesus Christ put an end to the bad news. That's the good news of today. And the good news is that the songs like the one Anne Murray sung will no longer be written. These type of songs will never be written again. Only good news songs. So, brethren, that is what is so wonderful and uplifting and inspiring about the Feast of Tabernacles. So, brethren, we have 3 days left of the feast, and we have the eighth day, or the last great day, where we can divert our focus and attention away from what is going on out there. And I know there are times we cannot, because messages have to be read about what is going on around us. And we still have to pray. We still have to pray about these storms that are headed to the East Coast. But if you can, divert your attention from what is going on out there and focus on what we're talking about in here today and what God is doing in our lives. So that's a challenge that I'd like to give you. So, brethren, what you've heard at this feast so far and what you will continue here, it's just a brief overview of the good news that the Feast of Tabernacles portrays for those, once again, what it portrays for those who will live through the tribulation and the day of the Lord and the billions resurrected that Mr. Duke talked about in the second resurrection, which we will hear about later on the last great day. But brethren, this is the good news, what we share in this magazine. And what we talk about today, this is the good news that the world so desperately needs. You know, the scripture talks about creation is mourning and waiting until we bring the real answers, until Jesus Christ and we reigning under Jesus Christ bring the real answers. And this feast represents a time in the future when we will help Jesus Christ and God the Father make the good news a reality.